Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How is thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guest take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it. And now, here is your host of Mind Matters, Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour of Mind Matters, an hour devoted to the question of consciousness, mind, and all that might arise out of this inquiry and somehow, in some way, perhaps really matter. From my studio in Spokane, Washington, through the marvel of modern technology, we are coming to you wherever you might be, anywhere in the world, live across the internet. And if you live in the Seattle area, you're probably listening to us on your radio's FM high-definition dial. We have a really interesting show for you today, and I hope you'll stay tuned to listen in. For we're going off on a venture in the general direction of parapsychology. We'll be talking about electronic voice phenomena, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, remote viewing, life after death, and a host of other subjects of kind, time permitting, that is. Indeed, we're going to play some sound clips, recordings allegedly made of those that have crossed over. We'll be doing this and having this discussion with a brain surgeon that has turned his energy toward the unknown and perhaps the unknowable. Each week, we try to bring you interesting subjects that ask big questions. I believe that the questions themselves are often more important than our so-called answers. And each week, we work to bring you leading authors, researchers, visionaries, and the like to discuss their take on these matters. Recently, I've had the opportunity to visit with many about such things as life after death. It shouldn't come as any surprise to any of you that many do not believe there is a continuation of personal consciousness beyond the grave. For these people, in the tradition of Sigmund Freud, religion is a sugar-coated neurotic crutch. Yes, the secular progressive of today is intent on convincing us that not only is a belief in the supernatural a mental disorder, but it is foolish, unscientific, and downright ridiculous, especially in this age of modern science with its daily breakthroughs in technology. But then, the days of supreme scientific paradigm as one that trumps spirituality are not new to our era either. Indeed, many scientists of the past have bravely stood up to this criticism, just as they continue to do so today. What then, is so threatening to the few that would have them shovel or heap pile and piles of insults on those of us that do believe in a divine, an afterlife, a spiritual purpose behind life? Why would an eminent scientist such as Richard Dawkins be so intent on ridiculing this view that his book, The God Delusion, would be the chief title by which all of his work is known or remembered? Just as an aside, in one conversation with a so-called self-proclaimed atheist recently, I asked, what kind of evidence would it take for you to admit the real possibility that personal consciousness continues after death? The answer was somewhat akin to the answer Richard Dawkins gave Rupert Sheldrake in a debate held in the UK. The answer goes like this: I'm unfamiliar with any such evidence, and I wouldn't believe it if I were. Now, what kind of science is that? I know what I think. What do you think? We want your ideas, thoughts, and questions, so join us. You can do that by phoning toll-free 877-230-3062 or by entering our chat room. Just go to www.ctrchat.com from anywhere in the world and any of your comments and questions. My partner, Ravinder, is here in the studio with me. Here come her lines. Say hello to everyone out there, Ravinder.
Hello, everyone out there, Ravinder. I'm very good.
She monitors the chat room and watches it live during the broadcast. She will greet you and see that I don't get too involved with our guests. So whatever your questions and comments are, we'll get them on the air. All right. My guest today is making his second appearance on Mind Matters. He is a neurosurgeon, and we spoke about that during his first appearance. He's an author and today an investigator of the paranormal. He had a personal experience with a dear friend that we'll get into and that led him deeply into the search for meaning and the afterlife. He's recently been involved in appearing in a couple of great movies that were soon to be released that share some of his perspectives and his findings. I've recommended his book, Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations, A Doctor's Journey Through the Worlds of Divine Intervention, Near-Death Experiences, and Universal Energy to all of you at least twice in the past. It's an excellent read, and we'll touch again on it a little bit during this show. But today we're more interested in his investigations of the paranormal and the supernatural. I've come to personally know Dr. Turner. He is a genuine, caring, honest scholar with an enormous amount of energy, intent on learning all that he can. Indeed, he devours the information. His traditional education and allopathic training causes him to pause with caution before venturing onward, but his sincere openness to alternative approaches and ideas has led him to treasures we can all learn from. So, as is said in Hollywood, without further ado, welcome to another hour of Mind Matters, Dr. John Turner.
Well, thank you, Eldon, and Ravinder, and all the listeners. It's my pleasure to talk with you again, Eldon. Thank you for the nice introduction.
Well, it's indeed our pleasure, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun on this one, Dr. Turner, because
right.
I'm going to ask you right off the get-go. Electronic voice phenomena. I'd have you jump right in there, tell the audience what it is, tell them about Martin, and tell them about the recordings that you made after he passed over.
Well, Eldon, thank you. That's my favorite subject because Martin is my webmaster, or was my webmaster. I say was because he passed on in February of this year. But before doing so, he set up a website, and he agreed to work with me doing some research in what's called electronic voice phenomena or instrumental transcommunication. And most of your listeners are familiar with the movie White Noise. There's two versions, number one and number two. But that was a story about how radio is used using static, a white noise of some type. An example is a waterfall, that type of noise, to act as some type of carrier that either entities in another dimension or those who have passed on can use to modulate their voice into something that we can hear. And the great book called Breakthrough by Konstantin Radai was published in 1971, I believe, in which he talks about using a tape recorder. He produced some 72,000 or more snippets of recordings of voices that were in a language sometimes that only he could understand, and something that was not broadcast on the radio. So the movie White Noise was a good movie, interesting movie, and at the time I first saw it, I wasn't that interested, but last year, Eldon, in November, I received an email, very cryptic message from a Rob Smith in Australia. He had come across my website that was designed to promote my book, and he said, "Doctor, after seeing your website, I know you'll be interested in what's taking up the last 5 years of my life." And he explained to me about EVP, electronic voice phenomena. Now, Eldon, at that time, I only remembered that movie Frequency from the year 2000. Remember that one?
I do.
Yeah, and at the time I saw it, I didn't think much about it, really, and filed it away. But now, in retrospect, a lot of things have happened, and it's an excellent movie. But at any rate, I told Rob I'd be happy to look into EVP, and I mentioned this to Martin, who was kind of a computer genius of sorts. And I said, "Martin, here's an electronic way we can maybe get some information about this afterlife. Would you be interested?" And he said, "Absolutely, let's do that." And soon thereafter, shortly thereafter, he developed a pain in his abdomen, and 2 months later, he was suffering from an incurable disease, cancer of the colon with metastatic lesions to his liver. And I went to London to see Martin, and there wasn't much I could do at that time at all, but I managed to ask him the day before he passed. I said, "Martin, now, are you still interested in this research project?" And he looked up at me and he said, "Absolutely." And then after returning to Hilo, I decided to carry on this study and research like I had promised Martin. And a lot of things began to happen. And there's a link at my website if your listeners would like to look at. They can see what happened with Martin and how I tried something I'd heard of called radio sweeping, Elvin. And that's a way to tune a radio fast through the different channels so you're picking up the static and noise, and then to see what might come through in that jumble of noise. And there's a way to, a man named Hurley showed me, explain how to modify a simple Radio Shack armband radio that will turn it into an automatic sweeping device. You don't have to twiddle knobs and things. And on my first attempt, I cut the wire from the circuit board, and I put that little radio back together and turned on the speakers, and I just happened to have an IC recorder handy, and I said, "Let me give it a try." So the first thing I did, I said, "Martin, are you there?" And the result I got was pretty interesting. I'm not sure how the clip will play now, but maybe we could try that. And
I'd love to. Let's play that. That first clip is Martin. Is that you, or is that Martin? Are you there?
The very first clip.
Martin, are you there?
Martin, are you there?
All right. Now, for the listening audience, understand, as Dr. Turner has explained, this is a fast sweeping all station, like putting your radio on seek and having it not stop, just go from one band to the next bandwidth. So you're going to hear that kind of noise, as well as Dr. Turner speaking, and we'll discuss what you hear as the answer. Here goes. Here's the clip. Listen closely.
"Martin, are you there?"
Okay, right there at the end, what do you discern him as saying, Doctor?
Well, that particular clip, you know, I take it back. This was the second clip. I think the first one was, "Martin, is that you?"
Okay. Martin, let's do "Martin, is that you?" You want to do that one?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm sorry. Let's do that one first. Might be a little.
All right, here we go. "Martin, is that you?"
"Hey, Martin, is that you?"
No. Do it again.
Yes.
"Hey, Martin, is that you?"
Now,
okay, Doctor?
There's a couple things I like to say about this for you and all the listeners, and you and I have talked about this, Eldon, but, you know, the first question to ask is, what does anyone hear with that? Because if I tell you what I hear, there's a good chance that you may then start to hear it. And you remember our experimentation listening to the sine wave speech?
Right.
I don't know if you have those clips to try, but that will explain better, because I may give it away if I tell you what I hear in that clip.
Well, I slowed down the end of it, so let's play just his answer slowed down a little.
Yes.
May we do that first?
Yes.
So, I'm not gonna suggest what that is, but it sounds to me like two words, and here we go again. All right, now what is it you'd like us to play, like me to play?
All right, before I give you my answer to what I think I got on this recording, I'd like you to play perhaps the sine wave speech one.
Sine wave original one or sine wave one?
No, not the original. The original will say...
Okay, here we go. Sine wave one. Okay?
Yes.
Play it again?
Go ahead.
All right.
Now, again, since the listeners can't tell us what they hear, and if you haven't heard before, all I can say is that now if you play the original and then again play that sine wave one, the listeners will be able to then pick out something.
Okay, here we go.
She cut with her knife.
Okay, this is the original. Here it goes again.
she cut with her knife.
All right, now here's the sine wave, one that we played.
She cut with her knife!
All right. Now explain to us what you just demonstrated to the listening audience.
I can explain what we demonstrated. It's the why that I can't yet explain. But what we demonstrated was that initially, this kind of a sine wave sounding kind of phrase makes little sense at all until you hear what the original sentence was, which was "he cut with a knife." Then when you go back and hear it, it suddenly becomes very clear, something that was there all along, but we just couldn't recognize it. Could we try the sine wave beat six?
Sine wave six, coming up.
Yeah. Now, perhaps that makes a little sense since people have heard sine wave one, but can we hear the original?
You got it.
The man's painting a sign. The man's painting a sign.
Here's sine wave six again.
The man's painting a sign! The man's painting a sign!
Now, Eldon, you may have to tell me why this phenomenon occurs. I can only say briefly, it's akin to a visual phenomenon that's called the moon illusion. Now, that was new to me when I first heard about it, but it may be good for us to think about that. Have you noticed, Eldon, those times when the moon is full at the low horizon? Maybe if you live near an ocean or over the bay, it looks so beautiful and full, like Hanalei moon and all that. Have you noticed that when it looks just gigantic?
Yes.
Okay, now, you know, and we all know that, when that moon is later high up in the sky at night, it looks much more normal, but smaller. But yet, it didn't appreciably change distance. It's still around, 235,000 miles from us?
No.
But yet, when it's low on the horizon, it looks gigantic. Now, this is known as the moon illusion because when it's low like that, if you try a simple experiment, turn your back to that moon and bend down and look at it upside down between your legs, it will suddenly shrink down to the normal size that you see it when higher up in the sky. And maybe that's where the term mooning came from, so don't let your neighbors do this, but you'll be amazed at the visual illusion, how the size changes. Now, what I think we're seeing with the sine wave speech is something very similar. We hear something unintelligible unless someone says, well, look, this is what it says. Then we go back and it's fairly clear. The same thing with the clip on Martin, is that true? I'll tell you what I think it says at the end where you floated down.
Let's have you hold that until after the break.
All right.
We have a break to take. When we get back, then you tell me what you think it says. I'll tell you what I think it says. Maybe we'll get the listening audience involved, and we'll discuss this whole process. For the moment, you're listening to Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
By special arrangement, Eldon has made available his best-selling Essential Pillars of Success at unheard-of savings. The principles and essential pillars have worked for thousands of people around the world and are guaranteed to work for you. Essential Pillars of Success consists of 9 programs on 8 CDs and comes with a book that explains how and why it's so easy to self-sabotage our best efforts and provides a roadmap for correcting those thought patterns and beliefs. It also includes a booklet teaching the learning strategies involved in choosing the programs or scripts that run through your mind. The entire mind conditioning set normally sells for $243.50, but is yours today for only $88. Plus, you will receive hundreds of dollars in bonus tools to further assist you. Call 1-800-964-3551 today for details.
You've heard of subliminal messages as used to sell you goods, ideas, even politicians. But did you know there is a patented and scientifically demonstrated effective CD series known as InnerTalk? InnerTalk can motivate and teach your subconscious in ways that can release stress, restore confidence, and build a new you. Millions of users worldwide have turned to InnerTalk as the antidote for all the negative messaging that most of us get every day. Think about it. Play your CD in the background while you do other things, and all the while your subconscious mind is being trained. Maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you have difficulty in your relationships, or maybe you think of the maybe and ask yourself, what could I do if I believe that I could do anything and not fail? Go to their website and get their free catalog today at innertalk.com or call toll free 1-800-964-3551. Remember, InnerTalk, when believing in yourself matters.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by the Mind Mint, the self-improvement superstore. MindMint.com offers hundreds of books, audio and video programs, subliminal and hypnosis technologies, software, biofeedback, and much more, all designed with your success in mind. Proven programs to help in almost all situations and walks of life, from the practical to the spiritual. Go to www.mindmint.com, your complete one-stop self-improvement superstore. Once again, that's www.mindmint.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com. Making choices? Choose the CTR Network as your source for soulful information.
Okay, we're back, and we have a great guest, Dr. John L. Turner. And if you haven't been to his website, it's www.johnlturner.com. Go there. Take a look at what he has on the page to offer. Before we went to the break, we were talking about sine waves and illusions. And during the break, Dr. Turner and I were talking about the patterns and how important it is that the brain see these patterns. As you may remember, we discussed the moon illusion. Do you want to pick it up from there, Dr. Turner?
Yes, we were discussing that and how it may not be quite the right example, that visual illusion, whereas in hearing something, once you're told it's there, you kind of hear it forever, perhaps, when you listen, but... This, getting back to the electronic voice phenomenon and radio sweeping. Now, two different things. The electronic voice phenomenon done by Rudolf and others is that you let the recorder play, and the most effective way recorders are doing this, the people who do the recording, is to say, is there anyone there? And they'll let this device run. The very strange thing about it is some of the IC, integrated chip digital recorders, can be set to voice actuation. And then when you go back to analyze it, you'll see the device has been energized by a non-audible source, and very interesting voices can be heard. Now, our friends from Idaho and from Australia, respectively Dale and Ingrid, have sent the clips of them, which I hope might be able to play up, EVP recording, in which they let the recorders run. They were very quiet or working nearby in the room, trying not to make any noise, and yet voices come through, male or female, that seem to be perhaps not so much from those who have passed on giving messages, but those who are in some type, I think, of parallel dimension. That's one thought. The other thought...
That's interesting. I have two of those... queued right this minute that are from voice actuated recorders. Let's listen to one of them. This one happens to be just titled Multiple Voices.
Alright.
Once again. Now here is the other one. And again, although you may hear the voice much clearer on this one, as Dr. Turner says, these recorders are set for voice-actuated model. No one is in the room. The recorder records this information from wherever. Here it is.
Hello?
Okay. Well, go ahead, Dr. Turner.
Here's the thing on it. Now, I'm not sure if those exact recordings, if the recorder was just recording or if the voice actuation was on, but what happens is that in what is essentially a silent area with the person who started the recorder in the close proximity, meaning either in the adjacent room or within feet of the recorder, something is picked up that sounds much like a human voice, and as you heard there. Now, the interesting thing, as Ingrid and Dale have pointed out, these voices are not in the human speech range that goes up to maybe 3,000 hertz, but they seem to occupy frequencies a little bit higher than that, and definitely different than human speech, although it sounds like human speech. So the question is, what triggers this recorder? Is it electromagnetic or what? And Dale has done experiments by putting that recorder in a microwave oven to have a kind of a homebrew Faraday cage. Now, as your listeners know, Faraday cage is a type of device with copper screening or shielding that's used to prevent outside electromagnetic influences or to allow what's going on inside that cage to escape to the outside. And I spoke with Dale Huey earlier, and I told him I tested out the microwave thing by putting my cell phone in the microwave, closing it up, and see if I could get that phone to ring when I called from another phone. And no signal got through at all. As soon as I opened the door and tried it, then it would work.
So you didn't turn it on and cook it, huh?
This experimentation. So these voices that you're hearing there, and hopefully if you can also play one of Dale's clips, you'll hear this talking, and sometimes it's very intelligible, but it's not the people in the room talking. It's something else being picked up by this recorder, and it's not an audible signal. It somehow gets into the recorder. Can you play any of those clips by any chance, Elvin?
Yeah, I can probably set those up maybe in the next break. But okay. But while we're on that subject, it appears to me that sometimes there are a number of different voices that come through. It's like there's a chorus of people trying to communicate at the same time. What do you suspect that's about?
Well, I've got a couple of thoughts on that I've discussed with others, including Dale and Ingrid. And I wonder at first, you know, could this be something in the mind or brain-mind connection that the person that's in the room is picking recorders somehow picking up? And I suggested, you know, we talked about movies like The Three Faces of Eve and how these multiple personalities come out of the physical person, but maybe somehow mentally we all carry more than just what we know is us around in our brains and minds, and somehow these recordings are picking it up. That's one choice.
So maybe it's a multiple personality disorder and some telekinetic telepathy.
One thought. Now, that's kind of far-out thought. The other thought is that are they picking up some type of parallel dimension? And is it from those who have passed on or those who are living their lives in one of these multiple parallel universes everyone seems to talk about that somehow we pick that up? And there's some suggestion that I've heard recordings Ingrid has said that sent to me that say the voices say something like, well, who's there? Just as if someone's picking up the presence of something or somebody else. So I don't have the answer to that, Elton, but I think it's fascinating to try to find out what is going on with this.
I do too, but I, you know, when you're looking at it and saying, okay, perhaps this is a function of my own mind and it's being recorded on the recorder, where I suppose that is possible, we would have to jump to some other major explanation if we include all of the phenomena that has come from EVP recording. For example, I give you, you're the medical doctor, and have looped me into this, so I've had the good fortune of meeting Dale and Ingrid through at least email, but medical cures have allegedly been given via EVPs. You wouldn't be suggesting that that's coming from the local unconscious subconscious, would you?
Well, you know, according to some information I sent you from a young man named Michael, who's part of the Yahoo group on Radio Sweeping, who has investigated medical treatment using radio sweeping in communication with a doctor who was deceased is very much reminiscent of the Dr. Fritz phenomena and John of God in Brazil, in which the entities of deceased doctors and others work through them. And this is very similar, but a modern-day electronic way to do it. So I would say what they're picking up in that case is someone who had passed on that somehow is able to modulate this equipment to communicate with them. So it's fascinating what it means. I'm not sure. I went back to study the three phases of Eve, and when you look at that story, and as a medical doctor, were you present then when that happened? You'd have to be as amazed as the two doctors were in that story. They just couldn't believe that one lady could have three distinct personalities that could be called out of her at will. So it may be the same with this. What they're picking up sounds clearly like a voice, and it could be the personalities of the recorder, or it could be the parallel dimension.
Now,
as foreverfamily.org says, your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and we all may be coexisting on many interdimensional planes, and science fiction like as that sounds, the physics of it seems reasonable.
Now, one of the theories, and I just have to try this out on you because I know you have spent endless hours and an enormous amount of energy in already doing the research that myself and everybody else has to be interested in. But one of the theories that I pulled off the internet having to do with this, and when, and I say this when you coming off the back of the three phases of Eve, is past life experiences. So there was an explanation as a case in point that essentially went like this. An individual, unaware of his past lives, nevertheless is carrying that information. And this, if you will, telepathic form of telekinesis, this impression on electromagnetic material, is being done by a past life. So maybe there's, in a past life, this was a physician, and the physician is giving answers, medical answers. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible. Some people feel that deja vu phenomena is a past life type of thing coming to the surface. Personally, I think something like deja vu is maybe some type of temporal lobe brain recycling, you know, echo type of thing. So I'm not sure what it means. I was listening, as I may have mentioned to you, to Russell Targ talk on Coast to Coast from a July 8th show.
Mm-hmm.
And they had something that may be applicable to an answer for your question, Elton. They were talking about archaeology and that how perhaps the pyramids were built or something like that. Or let's say an ancient site where remote viewing is used to say, okay, if you dig here, this is where you're going to find this structure based on remote viewing. And he went on to explain perhaps what is really happening is that the remote viewing was actually done into the future to answer the question, if someone was to dig here, what would they find? I know I may not have said this properly, but I think it's the same thing with the past life. What we're picking up on these recorders could be, as you say, some past life of the person operating the recorder. Did I get you? Am I right? This is what you're thinking?
Right.
That, well, that somehow comes out into the electronic device. That's possible, but I mean, I don't know how I could ever answer if that's likely or not.
I guess the hope, yeah, the whole scenario completely draws upon our understanding of what is consciousness, what is the human condition, you know, what is afterlife, what is it that survives that personal consciousness. And playing devil's advocate for a moment, it's easy to see why some people go after that field when there are so many explanations, and some of them are just beyond the scope of being credible, at least given our limited understanding as we have it today. Is that,
you know,
I mean,
I
is that basically as you see it?
I'd love to explore that with you in two case studies. How about that?
And then let's do that. But let's do that right after a break.
All
let's
right.
get this last break in, and then we've got the rest of the hour to discuss that.
All right.
You're listening to Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio. My special guest today is Dr. John L. Turner, medical doctor, indeed neurosurgeon, who's become a parapsychological explorer, investigator, and he's keeping us honest, and at the same time, he's sharing some jewels of wisdom with us. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Taken over your life? Waking up tired? Unable to focus? At last, a new approach for the treatment of stress-related disorders. It's called CES, a revolutionary new technology that is safe, effective, and easy to use. Best of all, it has none of the negative side effects of drugs. CES has been validated by a major study at the Harvard School of Public Health. Its benefits demonstrated in dozens of independent research studies conducted at the National Institute of Health. And this new technology is now available in CES Ultra, the most effective and cost-effective unit now on the market. So why endure another stress-filled day? Increase your mental energy. Elevate your mood. CES Ultra can make the difference. It is available on a 30-day, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee. Call 866-YES-FOR-CES or go to CESUltra.com to find out more about this breakthrough technology. CES Ultra, the doorway to good health and a balanced life.
Hay House, the publisher that has revolutionized the industry, brings you Choices and Illusions, the riveting New York Times bestseller by Eldon Taylor. How did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? Questions we all ask ourselves. Choices and Illusions brings you the answers. Learn how choices are made for you without your knowledge, how you are programmed to sabotage your own goals, and why success so often eludes you. Learn to rewrite the most powerful influence in your life, your subconscious mind. John Edward, host of the Crossing Over Show, says, "Read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More importantly, it helps you to see that you can manifest a change. Get your copy today. Buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or get it at your local bookstore."
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by InnerTalk, the patent and proven audio technology that makes change easy from the inside out. When you're ready for change, you want InnerTalk. You can succeed and you can begin today. Lose weight. Stop smoking. Enhance relationships. Be a better parent. Increase memory. End procrastination. Realize your goals and so much more. Hundreds of titles to choose from. Inner Talk, when believing in yourself matters. Check it out today at www.innertalk.com or phone for a free catalog at 1-800-964-3551. Again, for more information and that free catalog, call them at 1-800-964-3551.
Welcome back. My guest today, Dr. John Turner, and I have been talking off the air about some of these electronic voice phenomena recordings, and we've queued a couple of more that we'll get to here in a few minutes. And remember that we never did hear what Martin's answer was, at least in Dr. Turner's mind. But before we went to break, for those of you that are just joining us, Dr. Turner is about to tell us of two case studies having to do with this type of voice recording. And Dr. Turner, please take it.
Yeah, the studies I mentioned, I mistakenly said this, but it had to do with things that will tell us, is there something about consciousness that seems to be outside of the physical brain? That's what I was alluding to. A couple of studies where people who are skeptics may have to stop and think, well, you know, I've got to give this some thought because they're kind of odd. And I can be brief about those because they may tie in. But during the cases of cardiac standstill, and I talk about one case, Dr. Spetzler, in the book, the one you and I have discussed, of Pam Reynolds, a well-known case. And in that case, when there was no blood flow to the brain, as verified by EEG recordings, electroencephalography, and evoked potentials, this patient could recall things that were said in the operating room. Well, there's one thing about that case. It was done during profound hypothermia. And I could see how someone could say, well, listen, perhaps at those low temperatures, what is it, 64 degrees Fahrenheit?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that protective effect on the brain prevents your equipment from picking up the signals that are present in a brain that is functioning. So that's why you had a flatline EEG, and it doesn't mean much. Well, Dr. Melvin Morris had a case of a young girl who drowned, or nearly drowned, in a pool. And in this pool, it was verified that for 18 minutes, this child apparently was underwater, and yet successfully resuscitated. And then was able to recall things that happened during that resuscitation event when there was no blood flow to the brain, and obviously underwater, 18 minutes, there was no blood flow, no cardiac output, and so forth. So the question was, well, was this because it was in a cold pool? Well, as you know, Ernie Morgan, our research associate, did some work for me as I was on the plane flying to Honolulu to do an interview about this case, and actually he found out that where the pool was in Pocatello, Idaho, those pools are kept between 82 and 84 degrees Fahrenheit, and at that temperature, one can survive in that water indefinitely, and if one is fatigued or unconscious, then perhaps up to 3 hours. So it was not a case of hypothermia, and yet consciousness seems to have persisted. So at least I don't know exactly where consciousness is. And is it in a space where these electronic devices can be triggered and record them? I don't know. But these things are being picked up. And hopefully we can get to your question about Martin, and hopefully we can listen to two more recordings. The first ones were submitted by Ingrid in Australia. The two I'd like to hear now are by Dale Huey in Idaho. Is there a chance we could try those, Elvin?
We've got them right here in front of us. Okay. So you want EVP 1A?
Yes, let's try a 1A first.
All right, here we go. What is the listening audience listening to?
Well, can you crank that up a little bit? Because I even had trouble hearing that one.
I sure can. Okay,
well,
what are we listening to?
I better let you get the first guess, because if I tell you, then you go back.
No. I mean, tell us how the recording was made again.
Okay, it was made during a time when Mr. Huey was preparing breakfast in the room, and in going back to hear what he picked up on his machine, he was able to give us this portion in which there's an utterance that sounds very much like a human voice, but its frequencies are above the range of speech as shown on some of the analyzing programs. So now, if you can make out speech in the back, if you don't mind, Elvin, I'd like to first ask you if you can hear anything. What does it sound like to you? And then I'll tell you what.
All right. Everybody, now listen up. Here we go. Well, first of all, it sounds like some compressor or pump in the background or some heavy breathing. Now I'm going to have to listen again. I have no guess.
Okay,
this is certainly something or other.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
It's
that's
something.
Right. There you go, Ravinder. It says, if you listen again now, Eldon, you'll hear it almost like a whispered voice, which Dale calls the mellow voice that he picks up often. It says, this is something.
This is something. All right. I don't know, Doc.
Because we have the advantage, at least I do, of hearing that with headphones and not over the air and not, you know, so it's a lot clearer. And if anyone is interested, Dale or Ingrid or I or you can supply these clips to them to examine. Let's try the 1B.
You got it. Here we go. Here it goes again.
Now, Ravinder, what do you think?
This might be just the something or other.
Yeah, I think so. To me, how about you, Elvin?
I'm sorry, this is an audio Rorschach. I'm flunking.
Well, to me, it sounds clear. Now, what Dale thought it said is a little different. What Dale thought it said he thinks it says this might be just right. Or, you know, to me, it sounds like this might be just a relapse.
Well, let's listen to it again.
This might be just a relapse.
What did you hear, Ravinder?
This might be just a relapse, maybe. And that last word fades away for me.
Now, one thing's for sure.
It's because it's kind of like a soda voice, a whispered voice, you know, but it sounds very clear to me, and as I said, what Dale thought it said was, this might be just the right, perhaps just the right path, but to me it sounds like a relapse.
Now, was this acquired, this recording acquired from a sweep, or was this acquired from voice-actuated?
This was the EVP. I don't know if it's voice-actuated. I didn't ask Dale about that.
Because it seems very, very clean.
Yeah, Olympus DS-40, I believe, is what Dale uses. And it's very clear, but as he pointed out to me, when this is run in a program like GoldWave, where you can see an audio spectrum, there are some frequencies in this that are outside of what we hear with a human voice. So, you know, to say what it is, if it is a relapse, I don't know. That may be a three phases of Eve thing. If not, it may be these simultaneous dimensions, or it could be those who have passed on. I think the future will tell us, Elvin, as we go deeper into our research, I think we'll find something of great interest.
All right. Now, when you talk about seeing, I am one of those creatures that I do depend very heavily on these waveforms. And if you take one of these sound files, you pull it apart, you drop it into a good software program, you can see all the different frequencies, and it's easy to spot that which is out of the ordinary, not in the background. So let's return to Martin. I slowed Martin down just a little bit. I'm going to play it for the audience again, and then I'm going to ask you, what is he saying? What do you hear there, Ravinder?
Maybe, possibly, hello? Hello?
I hear, I'm home. What is it you hear, Doc?
Well, I tell you, when I sent this clip to you earlier today to use for this show, I thought it was what I had heard when I first did it. Hello, in Martin's kind of a British accented voice. But now, in further listening to it, strangely enough, it's changed a little bit. What I hear now...
You want to hear it again?
Is why I'm actually listening to it better now with stereo headphones from the program.
Oh, you've got it there in your home, huh?
Yes,
well, for the audience, you listen. You decide, is Martin saying, if this is Martin, I'm home, or is he saying hello?
Well, let me tell you something, Elvis. You might have a point. Because when I take my young son to preschool, there's one song we listen to most of the time. It's by James Cleveland and the Southern California Baptist Choir. And it talks about that we're all going home, one by one. We're being called back home. And it certainly could be, I'm home.
Well, now, I didn't change any of the frequencies. I just simply slowed this down, changed its rate of speed. But I'm quite confident that we have two words here. And you look at the WAV file, you can see it's two words. This is not one word unless this is a hello. It is two words. And I think if you play with this frequency you've got, I'm home. Well, maybe that's just my Rorschach for the day, because I would expect Martin to say, I'm home.
Well, I tell you, if you look at that whole file, you'll see after I say, hey, Martin, is that you? I think there is a muffled hello, and then perhaps like you're saying, I'm home. But then I agree with Ravinder. It could say hello with a slightly British accent. Which
I have a question for you, though, Doc.
Yes.
Earlier on, you had the samples where you'd actually speeded them up, and we could actually hear how a clear speech can come through sounding like really strange sounds. So
yes,
you had those two examples earlier today?
Sine wave speech, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm referring to.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, what we're hearing now, I mean, this sounds like the gobbledygook. I mean, I'm vaguely aware of talking going on in the background. But if the example of the sine wave was to say that that could explain what is going on, then can't these sounds be converted in the same way to extract something that sounds a lot more obvious than it does? Because at this point in time, it sounds like, well, yeah, you can hear something, but it just depends on who is playing it as to what they're going to hear. It doesn't mean anything.
That's a good point. As you know, Eldon and I and others are experimenting with the speech produced by degenerative brain disease. And we've enlisted the aid of Ernie Morgan in Rhode Island to say, well, what kind of program do we need to really analyze this carefully? And what you're saying is quite true. We might be able to pull more out of this. These recordings that we played today haven't really been modified much. You know, I've amplified a little bit of one to make it a little more clear. But it's certainly strange, and it makes us wonder, what is it, are these recorders picking up? And people who are listening can try this themselves for a $25 Radio Shack armband radio, and by modifying it, they can experiment on their own and see, and maybe together we'll come to a consensus as to what is going on.
Do you think that they're better with the scanning technique than they are with voice-actuated, you know, just set the recorder to who's here, or leave me a message, and wait for a voice-activated response?
Well, it's weird, because Dale and Ingrid, who have done hours and hours and years of this, have found that with EVP, they're getting these voices coming through, and yet when I try it, I get absolutely nothing. Then again, when Dale told me today, he's tried the radio sweep and getting nothing, and yet the three times I've tried it, I've got some response to my question, Martin, are you there? Or, hey, Martin, is that you? Then again, it felt that perhaps I've got this kind of luck, if you call it, with this radio sweep, because Martin and I set this up to try this kind of thing. Now, I've got to try the EVP with Martin. I really haven't tried that. Just the radio sweeping, and maybe for me, and this is the way to go, I don't know, for them, the EVP recordings. But I think we need to look at all these techniques and just see what's going on.
Got to try it yourself. I know I did a few years ago, set up recorders, ran them for hours, and then just listening to nothing for hours, and you're going, this is crazy.
But now here's the thing, as I told Dale and Ingrid, who are trying this experiment, they're trying to actually put a question out there like I did when I said, Martin, are you there? But they're going to be asking three specific questions that only Martin and I know the answer to. And if that can come through, and these answers are not in the English language, by the way, they're in another language. So if that would ever come through during either radio sweep or EVP, I think it would clearly show that there's something to this, and it's not all.
I'd buy that. That would be evidence. Okay, listen, Doc. You got to tell the listening audience how they can learn more about Dr. Turner and the work he's doing and some of these people he's been talking about. So where's your website? Give me the name of the book again. We've got 60 seconds.
Okay.
Tell us.
Website is johnlturner.com. There's plenty to explore there, plenty to read about Martin. There's a search feature. To find out more about EVP, you can contact two people. Ingrid, you can email her at ingridevp@yahoo.com. And for Dale Huey, who's in Priest the River, Northern Idaho, you can find his address by going to the AAEVP forum. That's the American EVP Society. And he's listed there with his email address, and he'll be happy to talk. And they can always contact you or me, Eldon, and if someone would like to have these clips sent by email to analyze, we'd be happy to do that.
So, and that's johnlturner.com. Everybody, you know, remember to get a copy of his book, Medicine,
oh, yeah,
Miracles,
Medicine,
and Manifestations.
Miracles. Thank you, Eldon. That's so kind of you to mention.
Marvelous, marvelous book. Well, all right. We've come to the end of another hour of Mind Matters. I want to thank all of you for being with us today. And hope you join us again next week for another hour, when my guest will be Isaac Allen and Chad Cameron. They're the film producers of the new movie Leap. Great story about a leap of faith. And we've been doing some leaping today, but I think, you know, we've kept a close eye on the ground. Until next week, stay safe. Above all else, to thine own self be true.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time right here on ContactTalkRadio.com.